Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Kelly Harrop. I'd like to thank you all for calling in this evening. My friends, we're going to continue our study in the book of Jeremiah. Would you all please turn with me now to Jeremiah chapter 42? But before we begin, let us all pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we praise you for this night. We pray, Lord, that you give your servant the right words to say, Lord Jesus Christ. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So let's now turn to read the 42nd chapter of Jeremiah. Then all the captains of the forces of Joab, the son of Kareah, Jethro, the son of Hosha, and all the people, from the least to the greatest, came near and said to Jeremiah the prophet, please let our petitions be acceptable to you and pray for us to the Lord your God. For all this remnant, since we are left but a few or many, as you can see, that the Lord your God may show us the way in which we should walk and the things we should do. Let's stop here for a moment. Did you hear what they said in verse 3? That the Lord your God may show us the way. The fact of it is, that was the problem with the children of Israel right over here. They began not referring to the Lord as their God. They began referring to the Lord concerning Jeremiah as your God. And when you start referring to our God as something not a part of us, that's your God, not mine, you don't have a relationship with the Lord, and your prayers won't be answered. Then Jeremiah the prophet said to them, I have heard, indeed I will pray to the Lord your God. Pray to the Lord your God, reminding the children of Israel right there that the Lord is their God. According to your words, and it shall be that whatever the Lord answers you, I will declare it to you. I will keep nothing back from you. Then they said to Jeremiah, let the Lord be true and faithful witness between us if we do not do according to everything which the Lord your God sends us by you. Whether it is pleasing or displeasing, we will obey the voice of the Lord, our God, to whom we send you, that it may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord our God. And it happened after 10 days that the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. Then he called Jonathan, the son of Kareah, all the captains of the forces which were with him, and all the people, from the least to even the greatest. And he said to them, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, to whom you sent me to present your petition before him. If you will still abide in this land, then I will build you and not pull you down, and I will plant you and not pluck you up, for I relent concerning the distant that I brought upon you. Be afraid of the king of Babylon, of whom you are afraid. Do not be afraid of him, saith the Lord, for I am with you to save you and deliver you from his hand. And I will show you mercy, that he may have mercy on you and cause you to return to your own land. But if you say, we will not dwell in this land, disobeying the voice of the Lord your God, saying, no, but we will go to the land of Egypt, where we shall see no war, nor hear the sound of trumpet, nor be hungry for bread, and there we will dwell. Then hear now the word of the Lord, remnant of Judah. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, God of Israel, if you wholly set your faces into and enter Egypt, and go to sojourn there, then it shall be that the sword which you feared shall overtake you there in the land of Egypt. The famine which you were afraid will follow close after you there in Egypt, and there you shall die. So shall it be all men who set their faces to Egypt to sojourn there. They shall die by the word, by the famine, by the pestilence, and none of them shall remain or escape from the disaster I will bring upon them. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, as my anger and my fury have been poured out on the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so will my fury be poured out when you enter Egypt, and you shall be oath and astonished, a curse and a reproach, and you shall see this place no more. The Lord has said concerning you, the remnant of Judah, do not go to Egypt. Now, certainly I have astonished you to this day, for you were hypocrites in the hearts when you set. You were hypocrites in the hearts when you sent me to the Lord your God, saying, pray for us to the Lord our God, according to all the Lord your God says. So declare to us, and we will do it. And I have this day declared it to you, but you have not obeyed the voice of the Lord your God or anything which he has sent you by me. Now therefore, know certainly that you shall die by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence, in a place where you desire to go sojourn. And right here, again, the children of Israel, who were rebellious in this time of their history, wanted a different answer. They basically wanted an answer saying, go to Egypt. But God told them, do not go to Egypt. In fact, he as he told them through the prophet Jeremiah, because of their sins, they were going to be ruled over by the king of Babylon. God chose Nebuchadnezzar to rule over his people. But his people were still stiff-necked and did not want to obey. Now, think about this. It's easy for you and I to say, yeah, those Old Testament Hebrews were stiff-necked and did not want to obey God. But can we... are we all hypocrites for saying that? Probably. Because we could see the problem in many churches where they want to hear tickle-my-ear sermons rather than the Word of God or even listen to the Word of God. How many churches have broken up over stupidity, over fighting with one another and declaring the other one doing the work of the devil, and the other group saying, no, you're doing the work of the devil, over nothing when they fight in the church. In the church, we should be united. We should not be fighting within ourselves. We should be sticking together in the church, not fighting against each other. But somehow we think we know better than God. Never mind that God made the universe. He made our planet, gave life to our planet, gave life to every living thing. He made us in his own image, and yet we still think we know better than God. Look at Adam and Eve, for instance. God made them as well. And yet they bought into the lie that Satan brought to them, and Satan talked Adam and Eve into a rebellion because what was the chief thing that Adam did when he listened to his wives to bite into the fruit? It was a rebellion against God. Why was it a rebellion against God? True, that God commanded them to not bite into the fruit. But remember what Satan told Eve, if you bite into the apple, you'll just be like God. It was an open rebellion that Adam and Eve had. They were going to take God's throne from him they had in their heads. That was the sin right there. Their first sin they did, they declared themselves they're going to take God's throne right there, as Satan did well before him, before they did in heaven. Adam and Eve, by listening to Satan, did the same thing on earth because they were going to be gods themselves, or so they thought, and they found out mighty quick they couldn't hold God's crown. They were not gods at all, and they realized sin happened in their life. And rather than showing repentance towards the Lord, they hid from him. Then they lied to them. Then both passed blame. My goodness, what a web we lead ourselves into when we try to lie to God. And still today, we have many men who still behave like Adam and Eve, trying to take that Godhead and put it on themselves. And sometimes this happens in the churches when we decide we're going to run the Lord's church our own way by allowing things that are not in Scripture to be within our churches. Where now they are allowing homosexuals. Now, when I say homosexuals, I'm not advocating go out there and beat up a homosexual. That is not what I'm saying. I'm against that as well. Homosexuality is a sin in the Bible. The Lord has said so. But it is a sin to let homosexuals to be pastors and to be bishops. It is also a sin to let someone be a pastor or a bishop if they're committing adultery as well, or they are a known liar. They should not be a bishop or a preacher as well. These are sins that someone's holding on to that God does not like. Now, saying this, am I saying go out and beat an adulterer? Go out there and beat a liar up? Of course not, because we don't do that. We want to bring people to Christ because we are now living in grace. But the sin happens for us because if we tell someone that their sin is okay, they're going to look at us one day during judgment and say, why did you lie to me? Why did you lie to me and say how I lived my life was acceptable now to the Lord? And I found out it wasn't. And you gave me this high position within the church, and it turns out that I shouldn't have had that position because I wasn't living the way the Lord wanted me to live. I was supposed to give it up. I was supposed to give up lying. I was supposed to give up stealing. I was supposed to give up sexual addiction. I was supposed to give up homosexuality. I was supposed to give up committing adultery. But you all said what I was doing was okay, so I went ahead and did it. You see what I mean? We have to tell the truth, and Jesus even warned us that the world will hate us telling this truth because we are following him, because the world hated him first. And Jesus always told the truth. He never held back on what he said. And my friends, I know today it's not totally correct to say homosexuality is a sin. But one of these days, you're going to probably say, hey, get off the liar's back, or get off the adulterer's back. What's going to happen then? My friends, a sin is a sin. And in God's eyes, all sin is the same thing. Now, for those who go out there and call certain individuals like homosexual names, they are wrong. If you are living by Christ, you want to bring them to Christ. The calling of a name isn't going to bring them to Christ. They're going to, if you ask someone that's been always calling them names throughout their lives. But they have to understand, if they want to follow what Christ loves, if they really want true love in their life, accept Jesus and give up that lifestyle, because everyone has to give up their own sin that separated them from God. If you are a constant liar, give that up for Jesus Christ. If you are a man that likes to have sex with many women, according to the Bible, you're a monger. Give that up for Jesus. There's other things. All sin, remember, is the same to the Lord. Give it up. The thing of it is, we should not think that we are smarter than God. And that's why, one of the reasons why we read the Old Testament, because these are good lessons for you and I, because the children of Israel made the mistake wanting to know it more than the Lord. And they thought if they knew more than the Lord, that the Lord would still bless them anyway, and Babylon would never take over them. Well, they did. And now they want to go into Egypt rather than live under the king of Babylon. And the Lord told them what would happen to them if they did. And when they had Jeremiah go to the Lord to ask him, he gave them an answer they do not want to hear, because they just thought they knew it more than the Lord. Well, my friends, we don't know more than the Lord. The Lord knows exactly what he's doing. He wants you and I to be free from the bondage of sin, and run the church as we should run the church, and be out there to reach others who need to know the Lord Jesus Christ. We're all colonists out there. We're all bringing people to Christ Jesus. We're all out there for people to know him, to worship him, to honor him, to know that they can have a change in their life. They can live their lives a bit better and freer from the slavery that's making them miserable. That they'll have a peace of mind, a peace of solace within them through Christ Jesus within their lives. Because Christ Jesus is running to bring this love to them in their lives. Give up this sin and let it go. You cannot do it alone. Tell the Lord, I cannot get rid of it. You get rid of it for me. And the Lord will do it if you ask him to do it. The Lord will take it away, because that's how he works. So church, stop thinking that maybe we can bring people to church by accepting their sins. No. I'm not saying kick them out. If someone comes in there and sits in your pulpit who happens to be living their life in sin, the whole point is we're evangelizing to them, and let's treat them with niceness. But if they're still living in their sin, you do not give them a leadership position within the church, nor do you make them or support them in being a pastor. Not until they've given up that sin and walk with the Lord and give that up. When they start working with the Lord, yes, you give them responsibilities within the church. That's only reasonable. And this goes for anything, because more people have been in trouble in the church for stealing from the church, lying in the church, committing adultery on your wife in the church, than someone actually being a homosexual. Now, all sins are the same in the eyes of God. So let us pray for those people who are all in sin and help them come to the Lord. We who are Christians are growing children in progress. What do I mean by that? Because sometimes we fall short. We are not perfect ourselves. I am not saying that as a Christian we can't help but sinning every day. No. Because Scripture doesn't say that. If we're reading 1 John and Jude, we know that we're supposed to be walking through the Spirit, not by the flesh. So what I mean is that we are constantly growing. We may not be perfect all the time. We're not doing that old sin that we used to do. Our progress report is to keep on growing in Christ and not sin at all. That is what we do. And we keep growing in this process, because we are a child of God, and we are allowing him to mold us, to help us grow, to make us who he wants us to be. And that's how he wants you and I to be in his body. He wants you and I to be perfect, and that's what he's molding us to be. We may have a little rough edges here and there, but we are growing within him, and we're doing better, and we're not going back to the old sin that we used to have. Remember, you may be tempted with it, but when you're tempted with it, rebuke it in the name of Jesus, and have Jesus fill you up with his Holy Spirit so you do not fall into an old life again, because you want to be free, free in the Lord Jesus Christ, and think like he does. My friends, we're going to stop here for tonight, and we'll continue on with our lesson another night. May the Lord Jesus Christ bless you all, my friends. May the Lord Jesus Christ touch your all's hearts. May you all live holy lives. And let us all pray for our revivals in our churches, that we say, yes, Lord, you are the one who leads our church. Mold us and let us be the kind of church you want that reaches out to your community and brings your word to all those who are hungry to hear it. And we say this in the name of Jesus Christ. And my friends, I bid you all a good night, and may the Lord Jesus Christ bless your life throughout eternity. May God bless you all. Good night, folks.